Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. We're going to read as our launching point and to remind us exactly why we are back in the book of Genesis. So turn to Hebrews chapter 3, or chapter 11 rather, and we'll read verses 1 to 3. And then we're going to go for the text of our sermon and the substance of it. We'll be going back to Genesis chapter 2. These are the holy and inspired words of the Lord. Please pay careful attention to them. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Let's turn back now to Genesis chapter 2. Here as well, we'll be reading verses 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, again for your word. We do ask again, Lord, that you would work according to your Holy Spirit in the life of all your people here this morning, that you would show us truth from your word that may strengthen us in our faith, that we may live by faith as those whom you have justified through Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that you would work now. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we began a trek back into Genesis to see the connection of Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3, the connection more specifically of living by faith today based on how God created us as man and how he created the world. And last week we looked at God's plan for creating man in Genesis chapter 1, that it was the Trinitarian God who counseled with each other, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to create man according to a particular pattern. That pattern being God's very image. And so from that we see that as God created us, and we believe this by faith, the faith that he has given to us, we must also believe that he has created us to be his image, and we are to be his image bearers here on the earth. That's what he created us in as his image, which then gives us purpose, that we also saw that God created us with a particular purpose, to be fruitful, to multiply, and to subdue the earth. To be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. I don't know about you, but for me, ever since we have heard that sermon, God has just opened my eyes everywhere I go, it seems, to see man fulfilling this creation mandate, though not perfectly, but fulfilling this subduing the earth. And the more that we think about this and understand what it means, and we're going to get into this more in previous weeks, Lord willing, but man is still working to subdue the earth in ways that we just take for granted because we just grow up and see these things happening. But there's going to come a day when Jesus will complete that work and all the earth will be subdued to him. And he will reign over all the earth. That day is yet coming because we as sinful human beings, though we are called to subdue the earth and though we are doing it to some degree, we cannot do it exactly as God would have us to do it because of our sinful nature. This is some of the things that Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3 is talking about. That those who have been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, those whom God has given the gift of faith and given his grace to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe these things. Not because we see them, but the Bible says it's because you don't see them. You don't see the evidence of what Genesis chapter 1 and 2, all of that going on. You don't see that as if it's before your face. You weren't there. We see the evidence of it now, but you weren't there. And so by faith, the faith that God gives, we are able to believe it and understand it. We are able to because of that gift of faith that God has given us. So by faith in these things, we can understand how God created and framed and ordered the worlds. We can understand that it was He who did it and not an evolutionary process. We can understand that He created man, human beings, male and female, and no other kind of gender. And that they're still being created in that way today. And that as male and female, both of us were image bearers and are image bearers today, called to represent God here on this earth. And so we do things like God did things. We produce life by the power of God. Just Friday, we see that a child was born to Reuben and Anna because God enabled them to be His image bearers and to be fruitful and multiply. We create culture. And we're going to see this later on in Genesis chapter 4. How God, even from the very beginning, used sinful man to create different things in our culture. And we're still doing that today. And it's being done by Christian people and non-Christian people. And so we are, in that way, subduing the earth. But because of the fall of man into sin, that image is marred and our ability to subdue the earth and even to be creating and being fruitful and multiply. All that is hindered by our sin. But as I said, Jesus Christ is going to bring about the fulfillment of all these things in subduing the earth when He puts all things under His feet. But it is man who bears the image of God exclusively among all His creatures. Because that's when God said, He made everything else on those previous days, but on the sixth day, He announced not only that it was He, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when He says, let us make man, but He announced that this creation would be distinctively different in that man would be created in God's image. And in creating man in His image, God enabled him to work and to rest. Just as much as it was created in you to be male and female or female, it was also created in you to work and to rest. Because that is what and who God is. God works and God rested. And so when He created man, He put that in him as an image bearer to be a worker and one who rests. These things were created into us. They're not separate from us. They are created into us as God ordered things. Wouldn't it be very disorderly for God to say, I'm going to create this creature in my image and I'm going to give him the ability to work as I work creating. So he bears my image in that regard. I'm going to let him bear my image in being fruitful and multiplying. I'm going to enable him to subdue the earth as I have created the earth and still control it. And I'm going to be one who rests from my creative works, but not build into man the image and the enabling power also to rest. Now we may think, what does it take? There's no power that it takes to rest. We might think that first, but don't you find it hard sometimes to rest? Don't you find it hard sometimes to say, you know what? I need to stop. I need to rest. Because we have a tendency to do and to do and to do and think we must keep on doing. But one of the blessings of this day of rest that God has established is that He calls us to rest. He calls us to come away from work and subduing the culture and so forth. He calls us to rest. As Jesus said, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the idea of work and rest were created in man as he images God. And so to live by faith, according to Hebrews chapter 11, to believe that God framed the world, which means ordered things and created things, to live by faith is to believe that for 6 days we are to be working and for one we are to be resting. And not only resting, but worshiping. And we're going to see these things here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And so what is it that we are to believe by faith? What is it that those who have been justified by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, what is it that the author of Hebrews takes us back and talks about God framing the worlds? What is it that we do not see, but we are to live by faith believing it? And then faith believing it brings out action. I want you to see three things from Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. And that is, things we do not see, but by faith we believe God finished all of creation in 6 days. We believe God finished all of creation in 6 days. Secondly, by faith, we believe God rested from all of His creative works on the seventh day. And by faith, we believe that God blessed and made the seventh day holy. We believe that by faith. So let's first look then what we believe by faith in understanding that God finished all of creation in 6 days. And this may seem like a simple statement to make or simple to understand, but how much is this belief that we have under attack from the world and from the church and has been for many years? The attacks upon this truth that God finished all of creation in 6 days comes from atheists, comes from scientists, and comes from Christians. You might say, believe it or not, but it does. So what is being declared here in a summary statement in verse 1, that He finished all His creation, what is being declared here is simply a summary of what He said each day. Day 1, He finished. Day 2, He finished doing this. Day 3, 4, 5, and 6, He finished each day what He set out to do. And on each of these 6 days, God created certain things. And after all the 6 days, He says, I'm done. I'm finished with my creative work. And the first thing that we need to believe here is that God did this in the period of 6 days. Now, this is one of the notions, one of the truths of God's Word that has been under attack for several hundred years, maybe longer, as to this idea that all that we see in this world, all that we see in the universe, and all that our eyes cannot see but is out there, could be created in 6 days. That is laughable to some, in and outside the church, that it could be done in 6 days. So then oftentimes, what is read back into the Scripture is that this word day must mean epoch or time periods. Because the world seems to give the evidence that it was created in billions of years, or took billions of years to get where we are today. Now it is true here in the Bible that the word day, the same word that is used for a 24-hour day, can also be used and is used to speak of time periods. And so how do we know what this word day means here in Genesis chapter 2? Well, like in a conversation between you and I, we have to understand the context. So if I were to say something like this to you, which people do say, let's say an older man is talking with a younger man and they're watching somebody use amazing equipment to cut down trees. And the older man might say to the younger man, back in my day, we used to use hand saws to cut trees. Now you would know from the context that that guy is talking about a time period in his younger life, that they used a different kind of tool. The person hearing that statement wouldn't say to them, what calendar day was that? Because they know he wasn't speaking about a particular calendar day. Or you might hear someone say, when they see a lot of wrong going on or speaking about the culture and all the sinfulness of it, they might say, well, I long for the day when people knew right from wrong. He's not talking about July 31st of 1945. He's talking about a day, a time period when the culture reflected more of doing right than more than doing wrong. So in the context of a conversation like that, you understand what that person was saying, and you wouldn't say, what day was that? So here in Genesis, we have to look at the same thing. What is the context? What are we seeing? How is God framing up this conversation that He's revealing to us here? One of the keys is using the words evening and morning. When we speak of time period, we don't speak of evening and morning. We don't speak of how the day starts and how the day finishes. Time period is just an open-ended thing that is a long time. And you don't need to say evening and morning because there is no cutoff or start-off date when you're talking about that. But here there is. In each day that God did His creative work, He says, and there was evening and there was morning. Putting parenthesis around that word day, saying here is when it began and here is when it finished. Giving definition to what He is communicating to us. So from the Bible record, we would say that there is a 24-hour day that consisted of an evening and a morning. And like I mentioned earlier, it's not until the theories is the right word of evolution that began to creep into science and began to creep into the church that people started reading into this idea that it must be speaking about epochs. Because there's no way that all that we see here and all the evidence that it's an old, old earth could be done in 6 days. Man could not understand how so much could be created in the space of 6 days. Now what is that an attack on? But the very person and power of God Himself. For if God is God and is who He claims to be, if He does exist at all, He must exist as an all-powerful God, or He is not God. If He's not all-powerful, then He's much like us. But if He is all-powerful as He claims to be, then there is nothing He can't do. And if God wanted to create the world in 6 epochs, He certainly could have done so. But if God wanted to create the world in 6 seconds, He could have done so. But He chose to do it in 6 particular days. And He finished it in 6 particular days. One of the ways that clues us in to how the earth can look like it does and have been created in 6 days is we look at, and we're going to look at the creation of Adam in more detail in future weeks, Lord willing, but as we look at the creation of Adam and you think, when God created Adam, was He like this little boy Phineas who was just born Friday? We don't know how old Adam was, but based on the fact that God was speaking to him and giving him tasks immediately after his creation, we would think that he might have been a young adult at least. But we don't know for sure. But it's not likely that he gave the appearance on the first day he was created that he was a brand spanking new little baby boy. He was likely created to already be able to understand and relate to God in this communicative way that God reveals to us that He's doing. The evolutionary theory is not scientific theory based on observation because no one was there to observe it. The scientists weren't there, you weren't there, I wasn't there, and even Adam and Eve were not there to witness God creating the world. So there's an element of faith that is even enacted by Adam and Eve to have been created, to see all this around them, and to hear God declare, I created all this, and I did it in 6 days, and I finished it. Even they, in that regard, had to live by faith. So nothing new is created from nothing. All things find their existence in what God created, and He stopped creating on the 6th day. In those days, God created plants, animals, mankind, brought forth life, all of those things after their kind. So all that is needed to do in creation, God built it in. And God placed it there. And creatures, God created, create or produce more creatures. God also adds a detail to this truth about all that He has finished to include. Verse 1 tells us, not only did He create the heavens and the earth, but all the host of them. All the host of them. Oftentimes when the Bible speaks about hosts, it's talking about an army, or the heavenly host, an army of angels, so to speak. But it's all the different individual members of that army. And here, speaking about the host, He's talking about all the complex details that are created into God's creation. All the parts of the heavens and the earth. All the big parts and the small parts of you and your body. And all the plants. Every member of it that constitutes the substance of what God created. He did all those things. All the details in a plant that makes it green, in a plant that makes it produce fruit. God put all those things in there. There wasn't anything that was there that He didn't create and finish in 6 days. And so the faith that God gives to those whom He has justified is able to believe and understand these truths. And we say, why can't the world and the scientists see what God has done? Well, here's your answer. Without faith, you couldn't believe these things. You might be able to believe it in general that somebody created something, but you couldn't believe it could be done in 6 days. You wouldn't believe that it was that every little detail was created in 6 days. And at the time of God's creation, when that creation was over, those plants, those animals, those people were ready to flourish. Because God had put it all in there. Even the host of them. And so the just live by faith, believing these words of Genesis chapter 2. And having finished all that He had planned and purposed to do in creation, the Bible now introduces to us a new idea. Up to this point, it's all been about the 6 days of God's creative work and the command for man to go and represent God, to image Him in this world. And what is this new idea that God is introducing now here? Is the idea of rest. So it's not just a new idea, but it is a new day. The first six days were all about God's creative work. He was working. He was creating. That's what the world was up until those first 6 days. But now there is a day of rest. And that's what we see in verse 2. So by faith and believing that God framed the worlds, we also believe that God rested from His creative works. And we can tell God really wants to emphasize this. As we see here in verses 2 and 3, He says at least three times, on the seventh day, God ended His work. Verse 2. In verse 2, He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Verse 3, He rested from all His work. Three times He says the same thing. So what is He trying to get across to us? That resting from your work is important. And this was not a rest to God because He had tired out. That all His creative ability had run out. And so He had to stop. It's not that at all. It is a rest where He acknowledged that what He had made was good. It satisfied Him. And it accomplished all His purposes. And so He could stop creating because it was good and He was done. So He rested from His created works. But He didn't rest from everything. Because He still had to sustain this creation that He had just made. And He does that. He sustains the world. That's why we see the seasons coming and going. That's why we see the rain coming. That's why we see the sun every day of our life. Because God has sustained all those things that He created. And so He was still working. And Jesus testified of this when he was accused of not keeping the Sabbath. In John chapter 5, verse 17, he says, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." So is the Bible confused here that God, He rested, but He's always been working? Well, He rested from creating, but He never rested from doing other things. Other things that were different than creating. As image bearers, we need to pay attention to this. There is work to be done in those 6 days that's different than the work that is done on the seventh day. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 11, we saw that. That's what He was telling them. This kind of work, healing, helping, assisting people, is good work. And it's good to be doing on the seventh day. So, as image bearers of God, we should work 6 days and then rest. Now, for us, this rest, we do need this rest. And because we are sinful, we would likely, if it was not required of us, we would work every day. We would work 7 days a week. And some people do that to their detriment. Some people do it to their detriment because of money. Some people do it because of money, because they can't trust God to prepare for them, provide for them rather, not to work, but to rest. So as image bearers, as God rested, we should be resting as well. We do need a rest from our labors. And this seventh day rest God gives is a gift to us to enable us to stop working. Whether you have a job out in the world, or whether it's your work at home, God calls you to rest. And not just so you can lay around and do nothing. That's not the best kind of rest. But the same kind of rest that says, I'm going to stop doing my creative work, my productive work, and I'm going to do some other work. Just like God did. As God's progressive revelation, as He revealed His Word more and more to His people and His plan of redemption works its way out in history, we can look back and look at this day of rest and see that God was even using it to point us to Christ. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about we resting from our works to rest in His work. So the gospel is even there in the seventh day. The seed of the gospel is there as God says, trust me to do a work that you cannot do. We live by faith. The just live by faith when we stop our creative work, our subduing the earth, and rest on the day God has given us to rest. This rest, this seventh day mentality is part of man's creation just as much as his sexuality. Just as much as you were made male and female, God also made you mankind, the kind of creature that not only needs to rest, but He wants you to rest so you can worship Him. When we try to turn that upside down, man suffers because he's not following the foundation of God's Word. But again, there is confusion. Even in Jesus' day, there was confusion about what the Sabbath day meant, what the seventh day meant, what they were to do, how they were to think of it. And we have that same confusion in the world today and even in the church. One thing we must do by faith is acknowledge that God set one day different than the other 6 days. We have a day that is different. It's not only what we do, as in working, but it's also what we do or not working. It's also what we do on that day. We are to rest from our work so that we may worship God. How do we know this? Well, we see it later on in future, at this point, what would be later revelation of God's Word to His people. But even here, just in verse 3, there is a big sign that this is a day of worship. So by faith, we believe that God blessed and made the seventh day holy. And we see this in verse 3. Now already, the seventh day has been mentioned 3 times in these verses, just like the phrase, God ended His work, which He had done. Again, when God repeats things, we should pay attention. Not that we shouldn't the first time around, but God is saying it over and over again to help us to see what a priority and how important it is to Him. And as His image bearers, then it should be that important to us. So now God has not only introduced a new day, but He has introduced a new activity. These first 6 days did not include days of worship. These first 6 days were not blessed and sanctified in this way. But now, verse 3 tells us that after stopped having finished creation, resting from that work, but not resting from other things, verse 3 tells us He took up the work of blessing and sanctifying the seventh day. This is something God did. This is something God worked. This is something God declared to be true. And it's important that we understand what these words blessed and sanctify mean. So the word blessed is the Hebrew word barak, which means to kneel down, to adore, or salute, or to give honor to. So what was God doing here on the seventh day? Verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day. He gave honor to it. He laid upon it a special honor that He did not put on those first 6 days. He blessed this day, this seventh day, when He rested from His creation and finished all that. Then He blessed this day. He's laying His glory on it. Because He is holy, He is making this day holy, particularly this day. The next phrase says in verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Which we understand this correctly to mean that He set it apart from other days. This is a different day. Here you have these 7 days. God is in His seventh day of creation. He's finished His work. He takes the seventh day and separates it in a real sense by saying, this day is holy. And when you take one thing from a group of other things and you distinguish it to be holy, you are leaving those other things not to be less than good or worthy, because God has already declared them to be good, but they were to be common days. But not this day. This seventh day, God made it holy. He blessed it, gave honor to it, and made it a holy day. These 2 acts of God are His doings. And so it is never, ever up to man to say, not anymore. There'll be no more one day in 7 that's holy. Because man doesn't need that anymore, man would say. We've changed. And we're not subject to those things that God has done. And mankind in general, and the church in particular, in many cases, has abandoned this blessed day, which is to be a blessing to man, and have said, like they do in all other things, we've got a better way. We've got a better way. Let's call all days holy, as some of the church do. Since God made all days, then let us call them all holy. But God never did that. In His creative work, He created 6 days that would be common, and then the 7th day He made holy. Some of the confusion to this in the church and in the world as well comes because of Exodus chapter 20, where God gives the 10 commandments to the Israelites and tells them to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy. And so the church often thinks, well, there it is. That's for them. It's not for us. But when we look back at Genesis chapter 2, we see that this was not for a nation. This was God Himself declaring and making this seventh day holy and never turning back on that. It is still holy today. This one day in seven where man is to rest from his work and focus his heart and mind upon worshiping God together is still a holy day. We notice in Exodus chapter 20, when God gave the Israelites the commandment, He said, remember the Sabbath day. What's He telling them to remember? See, this is not a new idea. Remember the Sabbath day? That I, God, made that day holy? Remember that it's still holy? Remember that I've never changed that? Though years and years have passed? Remember that I made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And after I made them and mankind, that I rested the seventh day. Therefore, He says to them, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. And they were to remember that. Because that's the foundation for faith, for believing in God and what He says. They were to remember what He had said, what He had done. And they were to keep it separate from other days. And the reason they were to do this is not because of ceremony or ritual. Nor was it because God wanted to hinder them from being more profitable on 7 days of the week rather than six. But it was because God actually did make this day holy. Just as God had surely created the world and made it, He made this day separate, holy, and blessed it. If you don't have that particular notion, that as surely as God created the world and the seas and the stars and the heavens and the earth, all the creatures and the plants and mankind, as surely as He did those things, He also made this day holy. If that is not your foundation, then you will look at every day the same. You will not look at the seventh day as a day of rest or as a day of worship. What arrogance it is of mankind to say to God, we don't want that day anymore. We'll not have that day anymore. Can you imagine giving your children or your friends or somebody a gift? Like the Lord has given us the seventh day as a gift? Can you imagine you giving someone a gift? And you go to their house sometime later and you find it in the trash. I don't need that anymore. It was not good for me. Well, that would hurt. But maybe they didn't need that gift. But see, you're not God and you don't know exactly what man needs. But God does because He created man in His image. And so in giving him the seventh day to rest, man becomes image bearer of God, takes up God's mantle, and stops creating, stops working, stops producing, and rests from his creative works so that he may do something holy, which is to worship God. But I will tell you this. If you or I or all of mankind were to say, there is no holy day, that didn't change a thing. Because God made it holy. As much as He made the sky that you see and you say, yes, I see it's there. God made the seventh day holy. It is holy. Because God has made it that way, sanctified it, and made it that way. It's not determined by man whether he believes it or not. It's determined by God. And notice also that this first day of life for Adam, after the day he was created, before God ever sent him to work the garden, he set him up for worship. God created man, gave him his instructions, and said, here's a day But you're not going to do what I told you to do there. It's a different day. You're going to do something different. Just as God ceased from His work, man would cease from his. And as God made this day holy, man would take up holy acts of worship. God made this day, blessed this day, and sanctified it. Just as much as He made everything else. It's His work. So how can we say, on the one hand, yes, I believe God created the earth and the heavens and the stars and the sun and the moon and the plants and the seas and the birds and the animals. I believe He did that. But I don't believe He made the seventh day holy. And yet the same God declares the same word to us. It's not rational on the face of it. We're not talking about being rational. We're talking about faith. So just as we believe God created and framed the worlds, we also by faith believe that He made the seventh day holy. Finishing all that work in 6 days, He rested, only to start up another work, which was to bless man and give him a holy day of worship. And so it remains that way today. God never made it common. God never changed it and said, remember the Sabbath day? Forget the Sabbath day. You never hear those words from Jesus. You never hear it from the apostles. You never hear it from the prophets. But we often get putting the cart before the horse and say, well, here's what you must do and here's what you cannot do on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath day, without having the foundation that God made this day holy. Whether you accept it or not, doesn't change what God did. It is holy. The Scriptures tell us that all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now there is so much more to this holy day than we could cover in one sermon, and we're going to take up some more next week. But as we read in Luke chapter 6, let us not forget that Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, but man didn't make the Sabbath. The Lord made the Sabbath. And He made it holy. One of the greatest ways that the Sabbath is a blessing to man is it is a day that points us to Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier, as God rested from His works, we must rest from our works to merit salvation. We must rest from our works to try and be good enough for God to accept us. And we must rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Himself once said similar words. We could think back to Genesis chapter 2 and we could hear God saying about creation, it is finished. And we can look to the cross of Jesus Christ and see that Jesus did everything necessary for you to rest in Him. And on that cross, just before He died, said, it is finished. So this day pictures us as being image bearers and calls us to be image bearers of resting in God and all His works. This day, this blessed and holy day, points us to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of the Sabbath, as He claimed. What was Jesus saying there? One thing He was saying is, I'm still in charge of the Sabbath. Man, Pharisees, here I am, the one who created the world in 6 days, the one who blessed the Sabbath and made it holy, and you're trying to tell me how the Sabbath is to be kept. Jesus said to them, you need to know something. The Lord of the Sabbath is here. He, God the Son, and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, sanctified the Sabbath day and blessed it. And so what do we take away from this? That the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, verse 39, before we get into the Hebrews 11, said the just shall live by faith, believing these things that God has done. Which then Hebrews 11 goes in to teach us what those things are. And this is part of it. The just shall live by faith that God's word declares that He made the Sabbath, He blessed it, and He sanctified it. The just shall live by faith in the words of Jesus that God made the Sabbath to be for man and not the man for Sabbath. We're empowered to believe these things, to receive them as truth by the gift of faith that God has given to us. The just shall live by faith, resting in the finished work of Jesus for their salvation. Resting in Him. As God rested from His works, let us rest from ours and put our faith in the Lord of the Sabbath for our salvation. The just shall live by faith, bearing God's image, working 6 days and worshiping on one, the day which God blessed and made holy. This is the word of the Lord. And the just shall live by faith, believing these things and practicing them. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank You again for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for giving us this day of rest. Lord, You gave it to us even before man sinned, because You knew we would need it. You gave it to us, Lord, because You had sanctified it and blessed it, and it was to be a blessing to us. Help us, Lord, to understand what You mean by this. That this day is to be a blessing to us, not a hindrance, but to be for our profit, to be for our good. And it is good, Lord, for us to bear Your image, to rest and to worship. Help us, Lord, in spite of our sinfulness, as new creatures in Jesus Christ, to remember the Sabbath, that You, the God of all creation,